And now, for your viewing pleasure, Spud will now sing the Spud Addy theme tune.
I don't think so.
Ready?
Yeah.
Everyone's like everyone's just like perked up more than they did before.
Is this on?
Oh, hang on. Now I'm listening to myself. Ah. Keep just meant to listen to my own theme tune. Man, I ruined the introduction. Okay, here's the actual Spud Addy.
I'm glad because I wasn't ready for that, you son of a bitch.
I'm do you remember when I tried to teach you guitar?
Yeah, it kind of works. What song did you teach me?
I think it was all variations of Wonderwall. When we were children of the 90s, it was basically all children of the 90s did was going to go, look, I can play Wonderwall, I can do the guitar.
That was Wonderwall and the George Michael one. Dun, 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 dun. That one.
Well, I guess it would be nice.
If you That's the one. The Thank you. But die. And then I run out of money and I said all the stuff. Old days in the
Back
ghetto.
In the day.
In the ghetto. Where the hell is the top of my pen? I know this is not really interesting at this point at the moment. But
where is the top of your pen?
Yeah, doesn't matter. Go on.
I hate it when you lose little things like that. Like
I've got a problem.
The classic one is the remote control from the TV. You have the remote control, you're watching something, you go out the room, you come back, no remote control.
I think I've got a problem with that because if I lose anything, I really do drive myself to insanity, like wondering where it is and stuff. Like I lost my credit card. I think I told you a couple of weeks ago when we went to squash and I couldn't go to sleep. I was like, it has to be somewhere. Where did I last put it? Oh my God. And even when I was little, I told you that story about I had a little Superman figure and I lost his cape.
Yeah, look, the cape, it was a design flaw. The cape just, if you know the Superman figure, you know what we're talking about. He was a good quality Superman figure. He looked good, but the cape was this crappy little bit of material that just kind of vaguely hooked around the neck and just fell off instantly.
I remember asking my mum if I could take the day off school to look for it. And she said no. I think she made me one out of an old flannel or something. And I was like, What's this? This is rubbish. How ungrateful I was.
It was like that scene from Superman 4, like every time you used him, because every time he flew anywhere, it would just fall.
You know what's so sad? I know exactly the bit you're talking about. You're talking about the bit from the Statue of Liberty when he gets clawed.
Yeah. He gets scratched in the eye and then scratched in the neck and it goes down.
I got a little scratch of Superman.
Yeah, but it's a nuclear scratch, quite rapidly.
That's true. Considering he's also powered by kind of the sun, which is a little bit nuclear.
The sun is a nuclear something or other. Anyway, we haven't played the theme tune, damn it.
I didn't know we were on until halfway through this conversation. So
we've been on. I went through this like phase online of like inviting people onto the show and then being like, hey, how you doing? They'd be like, oh, I'm fine. And then just going live but not telling them and then just seeing what I could get them to say. It blew up royally at one point when someone started being very, very mean about someone else that was in the chat, and I was a bit like,
yeah, you got to watch out for things like sexism, racism, general talking about other people, stuff like that.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I'd do it again, but it was awkward.
You're probably going to do it to me at some point. I'm waiting for the point of the podcast like you did last week that you just go silent and I'm supposed to answer and I didn't know. It's like,
I got told that I looked very cute at that point.
Well, that's good.
The actual word was smug, but I read that as cute.
Oh, right. Okay. So not actually cute. Okay. That's good.
Yes, actually cute. I don't
smug and cute are two different words and they mean two completely different things.
It's a little bit of the theme tune.
Okay. Go for it then.
Right, I'm going to do it.
I'm not singing it.
You bet. Well, we all know that. You can actually sing. I've heard you do La Bamba really loudly.
Yeah, I remember that as well. That was a funny night.
And Spud and his lovely other half came around to my place and we did, I think it was either Rock Band or Guitar Hero, and it was when the drum set and the microphone had just come out. So the bit where it had gone on from just being more guitars, and we're in a little terraced house and, you know, we've been rocking it, but not like too loudly because I was living in a little terraced house. And then it was Spud's turn to sing La Bamba and he grabbed the mic and was like,
Bamba! I just made up all the words apart from the chorus.
I can feel myself going...
And then you had to move shortly after.
And now we live in a different house. Right, JJ. Right. Okay, now I'm actually playing the intro now. Here we go. Here it comes. From the side.
Spud Addy, Spud Addy, Spud and I'm Addy. Just listen, you'll glisten, cause you'll be so happy. Our podcast is random talk on this and on that. What did you expect from potatoes and fat? Yeah, what did you expect from potatoes and fat?
Alrighty then. Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to Spud Addy. My name is Addy.
And I'm the Spud.
How is the man... Wow, how is my ridiculously loud phone? How is the man flu?
It's much better today. I've been going to work because I'm that kind of hard.
Yeah, I'm like a different kind of hard. People don't mean to tune in because you are that hard.
They're like, do you know about that guy? It's really hard. He goes to work when he's got the flu. Well, not even the flu, actually. It's like a cold, but still. He felt really bad and he went to work. Yeah, it's right. I'm feeling all right. I'm not as bad as you were that day for your ill podcast. But
I had to take a day off work for that one.
Yeah.
And I haven't taken a day off work in years and years and years, apart from sad stuff.
But me, I take day off work the drop of a hat. Ah, my fingernail. I cut it too short. Day off work.
Well, you almost took day off work because your Superman lost his cape.
Yes, that was cool, but yes, exactly.
I have a gaming discussion I want to have with you.
Ooh, I like gaming discussions. Mm-hmm.
I finished my first Skyrim playthrough, which is very, very exciting. Cool. And it was awesome, and I got to the end of the game, and I won't spoil it for anyone that hasn't played it, and I won't spoil it for anyone that wants to watch the Uplay, mm-hmm, the roleplay when it gets to YouTube. But it was great. But I'm not done with Skyrim. I'd really want to go again. And so I've discovered this really cool mod called Requiem, which apparently changes it to be even more of a role-playing game than it is already. And while I was reading about it, they linked me to this really interesting link, which is what I want to talk about. And the link which it linked me to, and I realize I'm overusing the word link, which obviously means I need to start talking about Zelda at some point, is called Power Gaming versus Role-Playing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to paste it to you as well so you can see it if you want to have a little skim read. And it's making the argument, argument's the wrong word. It's making the observation that we all exist on a scale. Like, you know how everyone's like somewhere on the autistic scale? You know, some people are like very, very, very not autistic, and some people are very, very, very autistic, but most of us are like somewhere in the middle. This is making the argument that this article is making the argument that we are all somewhere on the line of power gamer versus role player. And basically a power gamer is a person that gets a game and kind of goes, even before they've played the game, they kind of go, right, where's the guide for the game? Where's the walkthrough? What's the best armor? What's the best weapon? How am I going to dominate all of these things? I'm going to use every single like exploit I possibly can to do all this kind of stuff. They're the ones that are out there to beat the game.
Yeah.
And then on the other end of the spectrum, there's the role player that will purposefully not choose the best stuff and just do it. You know,
my character is an elven archer and would never touch your Nord rubbish.
And, you know, we'll purposefully make choices that might actually harm his own character because it kind of fits the role play.
Hmm.
And the article's going through all of the different ways that role players and power players play. And the article's actually quite nice and neutral. You know, it kind of saying, you know, there's not a right way or a wrong way. But the problem with power players and role players is they just don't understand each other. You know, they both think that the other person is an idiot. A role player looks at a power player and goes, oh my God, you're ruining this game for yourself. You know, where's the challenge? What's the point? You're just reading all these internet guides. You know, you're a disgrace to gaming. And the power player looks at the role player and kind of goes, I'm sorry, what? You're deliberately not using the best weapon and you're actually reading the quests? What the hell? And and all this kind of stuff. And I find it really interesting because I was kind of seeing myself slightly on both sides. You know, one of the examples it gave was power players will always they'll find like the best weapon in the game or find out about it. And then whatever their character is doing, they'll make a beeline for that weapon. So for example, your character walks out of a city and kind of goes, right, I'm going to go to that place I know nothing about because I know there's a big shield over there. They take all their companions, they go over, they find that random shield, which is really awesome, and then use it for the rest of the game. Whereas the role player kind of goes, right, well, my character knows nothing about that location. So until my character finds anything about that location, my character will not go there, even if at all. And I'm, you know, I've done little bits of that in the past, you know, kind of like, Not game breaking, but like, you know, I've kind of gone out of my way to get an item I've read about online or but I've also sometimes avoided things as well. So where would you say you're on the scale of power player versus role player?
Well, this is, it's funny you should mention this, and we didn't talk about this beforehand either. This has completely hit me out of the blue. But the reason I say that is because I've just finished, completed, I forgot the name of the game, my brain, Bloodborne. I forgot.
Well, why did I not get text after text and a Snapchat of your underwear?
Amazing accomplishment, mainly because the ending is so confusing, and it took me like a couple of days to figure out what the hell was going on. But with that game, because I went into that's a role playing game, and it's a very strange role playing game, and it's a very awesome role playing game. But because I heard it was so hard, I did check things out beforehand.
You power played a role playing game.
Yes, I checked what was the easiest class, because not Demon Souls, the one before that. Demon Souls, the first one, kicked my ass so bad. I remember sending you a message saying, I'm sorry, I know you gave it to me for my present, but I can't, it's too hard for me, it's making me too frustrated, I'm not enjoying it because it's just kicking my ass too much. So with this one, I went into it purposely because everyone was saying how awesome it was. I was like, okay. So I found out who's the best character to start with if you're a noob, and you haven't, what weapons are good, what weapons should you power up.
God, if you picked the best character and you still had all those problems, what it would be like if you didn't?
Yeah, exactly. But I did get to a point where I was a little bit too powerful. So I got to bosses and I was like, right, here we go. This is supposed to be really hard. Swash. Ah, okay, you're dead. I think I farmed far too much there. That was. But anyway, so I completed that. And that was very much from what you were saying, a power play. Now, I've just really got into The Witcher 3. I started it a couple of weeks ago, just before I finished Bloodborne. Yeah. And I know nothing about it at all, apart from I read like a story to get me up to date because I didn't really like Witcher 2. Mm-hmm. So I read what happened in the two previous games and I put myself in that character's shoes and I know nothing. And there's loads of decisions where it's really ambiguous as well. Without ruining the game, there's a decision where this thing that you've been told is evil, you get there, it looks evil, but what it's saying is actually not evil. And it's like, do I do what it's saying or do I do what it's not saying? And there's
It's the old Thundercats debate.
With who? Which one?
Wasn't there an episode of Thundercats where there's like two enemies, two things, and they both come to Thundera, and one looks all beautiful and glorious, and one looks like a walrus that's been run over by a truck?
The back of a bulldog's backside.
And then it turns out that the walrus is the good guy and the gleaming one is... Sorry, I've segued. I'm sorry, please carry on.
Yeah, anyway, so I don't know anything. I made my decision. I don't know what the outcome is. I'm just going through it. And whenever I come across a weapon, I've even sacrificed a weapon because I've got my Witcher weapons. And then I'm thinking, right, okay, well, my guy is, this sword has been passed down from generation to generation. So I've even not used weapons like that purely because I don't know anything about it. And it's very story driven compared to Bloodborne, which all the cutscenes are. Some cutscenes haven't even got any dialogue in it in Bloodborne. So you're not absorbed into it that much. Do you think that might be it? If you're absorbed into it, do you think you go more against the power play?
I think it probably just says a lot about you as a person, and I don't mean that in a negative way or a positive way, and it probably has a lot to do with why you're playing the game, because some people play games to win, hashtag winning and all Charlie Sheen and all that from a few years ago, and other people kind of play it because they like the sense of adventure and the stories and things like that. So I probably, my guess is, and I'm being stereotypical here, that the Call of Duty player is probably more power play games. And the Magic the Gathering strategy players probably role play the games. I think it's just different ways of playing the same game. But I think what's really nice is where you get a game that really can work both ways. And I've been thinking about during the day, obviously, this isn't a deep and meaningful conversation, but it's occurred to me that there are actually more games that you can power play / role play than I've been doing. And it's actually made me think about whether I should actually role play. Because I think I'm more of a role player, but actually I have power played other games. So, for example, Borderlands. I'm pretty sure I power played Borderlands.
But did you look up anything?
Sorry?
Did you look up anything, like best weapons?
Yeah, I looked up stuff. I looked up best builds. I looked up various different ways of kind of playing it. So I power played Borderlands, but maybe I should have role played Borderlands. Maybe I would have enjoyed, because there is kind of a world of adventure there, because it doesn't have that same kind of element of choice. I didn't even consider kind of role playing it.
But maybe it's because the story didn't pull you in too much. Because some games, what game series does this the most? It's the Arkham series, even though I love their series, and Batman's awesome. Batman rules, man. But it's like, oh my God, Catwoman's over there and she's getting killed. you have to go there now. And it's like, okay, cool. But first, I'm going to do this side mission. It's like, you wouldn't do that.
And I'm going to do this really, really irritating finding the Riddler trophy, which will take me at least 20 attempts of falling into the ocean.
Especially if it's the last mission. It's like, you have to get there now to stop Scarecrow. Okay, but first I have to finish up all the Riddler trophies and drive around my Batmobile. And I think there's a trophy that I have to jump over four bridges in a go. Yeah, I have to do that first. And so that's annoying. But even though the story's demanding you go there now, it's like a sense of urgency. But again, I go back to Bloodborne. And I kind of get what you mean by Borderlands as well. The story's there, but it's not deep. People are going to go crazy because I know people love that game.
This probably just means there's different ways of playing games. I mean, like, because achievements, which obviously I know you're a big fan of, you know, you mentioned about going backwards and forwards across a bridge four times. Achievements are probably aimed at the power player.
Mm.
Because I don't care about achievements. Then, you know, getting that little ting of like, woo, I did it, doesn't really count to me. But actually for a power player, achievements are probably good ways of getting power players to explore more of the world of the game they're playing.
Yeah, it makes people do stuff. Yeah, I agree with that. But I think I'm in the middle. I think it depends on the game.
Yeah, I think it depends on the game. But I think the article has made me wonder if I should role play more of the games that I have been power playing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good article. I'd recommend, for those of you that are gamers, I would recommend you have a little read through and see if you see yourself in it. And I'll try and remember to put the link into the YouTube video below. If I don't remember to put the link into the YouTube video, just Google power gaming versus role playing, and she will be the first that comes up.
Cool.
Right, you got a topic you want to discuss with me?
I want to talk.
Yeah.
Well, it's not. It's a rant. Do you want to hear a rant? Do you want me to rant?
Oh God, I love a good rant.
God, I hate minions. Do you hate minions? I hate minions so much. Oh my God. I saw an article the other day.
As in and Despicable Me?
No, I like Despicable Me. Despicable 2, less so. Minions, the actual minions now.
The film or the minions themselves?
The film and the just push. They're everywhere. They're just, it's like advertising. I cannot turn around. I am drinking a glass of water from a minion cup. How did this get in my house? I have no idea. I just went in the cupboard and I looked and I was like, what the hell? And I read an article today.
Right.
So I thought everyone hated Minions. Minions is now the top grossing animated film of all time.
Really?
It's topped Toy Story 3.
No.
Toy Story 3 made $1.6 billion. The Minions made $1.8 billion.
But it didn't get particularly good reviews.
No, it got terrible reviews. That's the thing. But you think about it, they're everywhere. They're on adverts. They're like McDonald's. I think there was toys with McDonald's and stuff. It's relentless. And now I hate it. From going from Despicable Me 1, which I like that film, to now, I hate them so much. The advert, the way they, and I've got small children and apparently they say banana in the most annoying way ever. Cause my child, who is just the perfect age for Minions, keeps shouting banana at me like that. And now I want to strangle my child. So it's all the Minions' fault. I hate Minions. Do you hate Minions? Tell me you hate Minions.
I'm indifferent to them, but I guess I haven't seen the film. I guess it will depend what is he kind of does with it. But I'm appalled that it's now beaten the Disney Pixar classics.
Toy Story 3, the film that brought a tear to my eye.
Yeah. Oh God,
I mean, I haven't even seen the film. This is how much I was put off the film by the relentless advertising and toys and everything. So I hate them.
And they're quite cute. They're quite cute, but I'm just not sure I see the appeal. I mean, because effectively, you know, even the word minion, these are like subservient, obedient creatures who do jobs.
Did I tell you about the other article about the minions? Apparently there's a preacher in the US, I think. This goes along right along with my Apple story, with that Apple is the Apple is the Garden of Eden Apple, and the devil's in charge of Apple. These crazy ideas, I love them, they're very fun. Apparently Minions is trying to brainwash us all to become minions and teach us to be followers and docile and follow what everyone says. Apparently it's all a big conspiracy.
God.
I remember when I was at church and
they tried to persuade us that Harry Potter would open our minds to evil because it had witches and wizards in it, and this would allow us to become in some way, you know.
A witch.
Well, you know, would require exorcism because, you know, I'd read a book about with Voldemort in it. And, oh, That was a really big thing in Christian circles. You know, should I let my, you know, a big dilemma that mothers and parents had to go through was, should I let my kid read Harry Potter?
I remember about that time, actually. Someone come and ask my opinion on it that you're close with as well, without saying any names and stuff. But I was like, it's fine. Yeah, I remember that was strange. But you do have to laugh at all these crackpot things. Conspiracy theories, hidden messages.
They're not crackpots. I mean, people that are raised like that and believe that kind of stuff have a genuine kind of belief of it. But it, when you're outside of that kind of circle, looking back on it, it's a bit like, I'm sorry, what? You were scared of a children's book about a child wizard? I remember once I got into Warhammer. This must have been my dad bought me it for Christmas, and it was the old board game. It was before. You know, Warhammer, Dawn of War, all the computer games kind of came along. But essentially, it's a board game with army versus army, elves versus goblins. And I remember I had this like lore book on it, you know, which is basically kind of went through the made up history of the goblins and the elves and stuff. And so, being the, you know, male that I am, I took it off to the crapper and, you know, read it over a copious number of poops. And my mother found it in there and was like, oh my God, my son is reading about elven witchcraft, and like, and took it to our minister to ask him if he thought I was, you know, about to become bewitched by orcs or something.
I would love if you, one day you knocked at my door and went, I need to talk to you. Yeah. What's up? It's a bit personal. Yeah. I've turned into an elf.
What? 12, yeah.
Yeah, I was reading this book and I did a spell and now I'm an elf. You look this.
I think I might have to get you know, some sort of. What's more likely is I'll turn up at your door and be like, yeah, so I was in the crapper the other day and I found this book that Izzy's reading, and it's about minions.
No!
I'm a bit worried that she's going to become
the minion books
subservient in the middle of one-eyed yellow banana.
She keeps screaming banana at me like that. Oh, God damn me. people that don't know things about stuff, like obviously, you know, don't know the source. Someone at work the other day, and it was a middle-aged man. So depending if he's going to live to 100, I put him at 50. So there you go, he's middle-aged. But he overheard me talking to someone else about a game. And he went, oh, are you a gamer? And I was like, yeah. I play lots of games, so I do love them. I didn't say that, sounds weird. But so he said to me, I played a game once. It was that game that you talk to a baby in a dark room and then kill a giant bug.
What?
Guess the game. I figured it out at the end. So guess the game.
Give me the from that again?
Sense. Sorry?
Give me the description again.
So, oh yeah, I played that game. I spoke to a baby in a dark room and then killed a big bug.
I spoke to a baby in a dark room and then killed a bug. Fallout? Oh.
Wow, that was good. Well done. You're correct. Fallout 3. Huh. Yeah, I was going, what? Yeah. You speak to a baby in a room and then you go out and smash a big bug. And I was just sitting there just, what machine was it on? Did you play it on PC, on console? And he said, grey. What? And then he was describing the Xbox 360 because it was great. Because at first I couldn't figure out, but the early, obviously, Xbox. I was like, okay, so it's an Xbox 360. How long ago was it? He's like, oh, about 3 years ago. And I was like, okay. It took me ages. And then halfway through the middle of the day, I just went up to him going, Fallout 3! And he looked at me like I was insane. What? Fallout 3! That's the thing. But it made me laugh when people don't really know stuff. That's what he took away from it. He spoke to a baby.
Dog and baby and a bug, yeah.
It's true, though. That does happen. Those things do happen.
The guy
from Taken speaks to a baby in a dark room, and then you go and smash a bug. Cool.
Well, that brings us right back to the whole power play versus role play thing. He clearly wasn't feeling his character, and all he got out of it was, yeah, just killed a bug.
Why? What's my motivation to go speak to baby?
Do I hate the bug? Does the bug hate me? Is the bug threatening me, or is the bug just here? Is it an incidental death?
Am I the same character from Taken, or am I a different character? When is someone going to take the baby so I can make that infamous phone call?
Do you have a lot of management speak at your work?
In what way?
Like, people that should say things like, thank you for coming today, we're just going to have a quick chat about this. But instead say, well, this has been a really important gathering and a meeting of minds. And I feel that, you know, by the elongating of our thoughts and by the confabulation of our minds, we'll be able to disseminate information to others and, you know, really make a difference to the inner workings and institutionalized things that happen, you know, here, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, there's a couple of people, but not my boss per se. He does say stuff like that when he's in meetings, but then he comes and whispers to me a load of crap and stuff like that. So he's really cool. But his boss does, and it always makes me laugh. Especially when you come out of a meeting where everyone's trying to do as much business talk as possible,
yeah,
and nothing's been accomplished in that meeting at all.
And nothing has actually been said. Like it's a way of just filling air.
Yeah, it's like an hour to say something along the lines of, we need to do some work so the figures are bumped up so we can justify our cost. Okay, yeah, cool. Yeah. Instead, they say, what we need to do is we need to equalize each number and on a pie chart and then show it in a 3D angle and then weigh in our separate teams.
Conglomeration or something. Yeah, there's always like long words that mean the same as short words, but yeah, they use them.
You need to analyze and
search. Know that they do it. You know, is it like a conscious choice? Oh, I'm a manager now. I'd better speak, you know, how a manager speaks now. You know, I'm a vicar now. I'd better speak how a vicar speaks. I'm a politician now. I'd better speak how a politician speaks. You know, or is it just like by osmosis? And I realize I've just used a big word myself, but is it just by osmosis? You just get sucked into the environment, and before you know it, you're going down to people and talking about their performance targets rather than how their day was.
Well, but it's not just talking about the thing, is it? It's making it sound as stupid and complicated as possible if those two things go hand in hand. Because I think it's a bit of a class thing. I think it's...
Are we bringing race war? Race war!
No, not a race. I didn't say anything about race. Class
war!
Class war, fair enough. I've recently been promoted in the last... like year, as you know.
Yeah.
And when I was in my lower job, I used to be like queuing up at the work canteen, and some guy was there on his phone. It's like, yeah, we need the facts and figures, you know, because it doesn't match with what's on the database, and we need to go away and research an analyst and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just behind him going, what the hell? So he goes off after getting his macchiato chocolate spread thing. And I've just bought a can of Coke because I'm just working class me. And I say to the guy behind the counter, what a load of crap he was talking. And he's laughing his backside off as well. So it must, because he's on a low-end job and I'm on a low-end job at the time. So maybe if everyone with low-end jobs eventually ends up in managerial roles, we'll go into a meeting going, right, we need to do our work quickly before this time so that we don't get in trouble. Okay, good. And then you're at the meeting and you're finished instead of going, we've got crunch.
I reckon if you get sucked into that world, you just end up saying it. And then you die a little on the inside, but you carry on anyway.
I've been pulled at that, actually. I think because obviously when I used to make fun of people doing that, me and people in my old job used to go, oh, facts and figures, man. Look at the facts and the figures. And you're just joking around. And the other day I actually said facts and figures and everyone made fun of me. So maybe it's happening to me already.
Maybe.
The facts and the figures. Pie chart.
But it is like... language. I've been getting into language recently. I was writing some stupid poems and little stories and very much enjoying myself by, you know, playing with language. And because I don't like Shakespeare, and I get very grumpy when English teachers talk about Shakespeare as the be all and end all, because I've never liked Shakespeare. I've never particularly enjoyed those plays. I think there's far better stuff around, and I realize that's just my opinion. But what annoys me is the necessity that people that do like Shakespeare and stuff to kind of force that on other people. Like, I got this thing in my pigeonhole at work a couple of years ago saying, please write the name of your favorite Shakespeare novel and explain why and give it back. And I haven't got a favorite Shakespeare. Also, they're not novel, sorry, play. You know, I don't have a favorite Shakespeare play. I don't like Shakespeare. So I wrote something like Mort by Terry Pratchett and handed it back. And then I got a kind of ha 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 from one of my workmates. And then he gave me another blank one and said, no, really, fill it in.
because it's not possible that someone...
I mean, so the idea that I didn't have a favourite Shakespeare play, like, didn't exist in his mind, you know? You know.
Yeah, that's it.
Recently, I've really started enjoying kind of playing a bit more, being a bit of a wordsmith myself. So, you know, huzzah for words. Do you have a favourite Shakespeare play? How would you have responded
to
that question?
That's the thing. I wish I could come against you and put an argument going, no, but I completely agree with you. Just at every single level. I just like, I get it. Because people say this thing to me. If I don't like it, then I'm not getting it. It's like, no, hang on. No, you've just insulted my intelligence. I do get it. I completely understand. It's just not that entertaining to me or clever or anything. I just, So, yeah, I unfortunately, for the entertainment value, I agree with you completely, and I've got not much more to say. But that's really funny that the guy just assumed you were joking. It's like if someone said they don't like chocolate or ice cream to me, that's the kind of reaction I have. No, but seriously, have a bit of chocolate. It's fine. No, I don't like chocolate. What do you mean you don't like chocolate? You're a freak. What's wrong with you? And then I tell my children not to go near him. Don't go near him. He doesn't like chocolate.
Shall we have
a quick
5 minute serious conversation? We've been very light and jovial so far.
Oh, okay, cool. What do you want to talk about?
Labour Party conference is going on right now. Jeremy Corbyn and all the obsession with that. And the big debate of the week seems to be about whether they should have a debate about Britain's nuclear deterrent. And they've been kind of having like this, they're debating about whether they should have the debate. And they've decided they won't have the debate, but they've decided they all care passionately about the issue, but they're not going to have the debate right now. Clearly fascinating. But I feel about a nuclear deterrent. My instant reaction is, well, of course we need them, because if someone tries to blow us up, then we should be able to blow them up in return. But at the same time, they're not very nice, and I do see the counter arguments against it. So let's go serious for just 5 minutes. What do you think? Nuclear deterrent, should Britain have one?
Right, well, I'm completely agreeing with you. But I was listening to the radio about that today, and I don't know what to think either. Because when you think about it, well, you know, we could use the money in the UK much better than that. You know, we can help hungry people on the streets, going to food banks and more council housing and loads of different uses to help people that need help, which is great. But it is a deterrent. It's very, you know, some people out there might be looking at us saying, I'm not going to attack them because they've got a nuclear weapon. Mm. But then when you really think about it, the people who would nuke us if they got hold of a nuclear weapon, your ISIS and your the other ones, I forgot that name, but they wouldn't care. They would just shoot a weapon at us anyway, and that'd be the end of it. And they don't care if we shoot a weapon at someone else. They just want to kill as many people as possible.
It's not necessarily logical thinking that comes in.
Exactly.
I've just been Snapchatted loads of pictures of minions by various members of the posse. So thank you for the people suffering from that addiction.
Thank God no one's got... I'm not on Snapchat, so thank God for that, because I would hunt you all down individually and get you back. I'd paint you yellow with permanent paint. But anyway,
I was wondering about whether we'd actually... Like whether it's like an empty threat as well. Like, would we ever actually drop one? Because obviously they've only been used, obviously famously used in World War II once. And there's been an awful lot of making of them since. And then the Cold War, and there was the nuclear proliferation and then nuclear disarmament. And, study the Cold War for history, you know, all that kind of history. But, you know, it would take even if we did have, you know, like say another terrorist attack here, you know, we wouldn't drop a nuclear bomb in response. The only thing that would actually cause us to drop a nuclear bomb in response would probably be if there was a full-on invasion of this country. But even if there was a full invasion, I'm not necessarily sure that our response would be to nuke someone in response. So then I'm kind of wondering, is it a completely empty threat that we literally just kind of stand there and go, yeah, 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 ooh, we've got a big red button, but we'd never actually press it.
But would other leaders of other people, I mean, take out the terrorist organisations, so your Al-Qaeda and your ISIS, but would... You know, a lot of people are worried about Iran. And I know people, you know, a couple of Iranian people going, oh my God, that's outrageous. Never did that. But then you've got loads of stories saying, well, maybe. would Russia do it? I mean, I can't imagine anyone willing to do that. And it annoys me when people, any argument to nuke somewhere, oh, that country's evil, they do that, they do this. But for whatever the UK's done, I haven't voted for it. I haven't voted for any wars. I haven't voted for this current government. I mean, none of these decisions are my decisions. Why are you trying to blow me up? It's got nothing to do with me. I wouldn't want to be responsible. I would never, you know, if it was put to a vote for the UK, shall we blow up this country because they blew up us? I couldn't do it. It's horrible.
No, I wouldn't want to either. So I think I've moved from a kind of like, well, of course we need them because we need the deterrent position, to a more of kind of like, I'm not really sure type of position. I mean, it's one of those things that you can't really get it wrong, I mean, so you can get it wrong, because if you get rid of them and then you get invaded, then you're also going, oh, crap, we should have kept that.
It's one of those things, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. If we didn't have them, then, and something happened, it'd be like, oh, now, great, good one. And if we do have them and nothing happens, it'd be like, great, you're wasting billions. Is it trillions of pounds?
See, what is it billions? You need is for the whole world to come together, like in the UN, and just all be really nice to each other to the point that everyone feels secure enough to kind of go, you know what, we don't actually need these really big, nasty weapons.
That's the dream.
It's the dream. But then, of course, then I look at like Star Trek, and, you know, we might get to the point of view one day of being the Federation and having those really tight, like, jumpsuits and you know, little ships. But then you get attacked by the Klingons, and it turns out you need the nuclear weapons anyway.
Or in Avengers as well, if someone opens a giant wormhole above New York. Iron Man needs to shoot a nuke through that.
You never know when there's going to be a giant wormhole that will require advanced weaponry for you to fire through it.
But I'm all for the quest of peace, which loops right back around to Superman 4 when Superman threw them all in the sun.
How much would you love it if someone, some leading politician, comes out in the Shall We Disarm debate and says, well, aliens, what if?
You sound like my argument. What if? Aliens.
But it's actually a fairly logical thing. You know, what if aliens turned up and invaded? We would need to have the biggest weapons we could possibly have, therefore we'd need a nuclear warhead. That's actually not a bad argument. But you know no one would ever make it, which is a real shame.
It, which is funny, because they say more outrageous things all the time, in my opinion. But that, which kind of is possible. You know. But then Independence Day does show us as well, if we're going to take films as, you know, literal tapestry
of
history and future.
Alien policy decisions based on movies from the mid-90s.
Exactly. So what, instead of investing in nuclear weapons, we should be investing in viruses to lower their shields.
Alien destroying antibodies. Viruses. And that wasn't Independence Day. That was War of the Worlds. You're confusing your alien invasions, my friend.
No, I mean computer viruses. Remember, they're shooting the nuke and the shields stand up and it's fine. The nuke doesn't affect the spaceship. Yes. But then the fly, what's his name? I forgot the actor's name. The one in Jurassic Park. Thank you. He's
the
does
one
virus.
He's the one with the famous laugh from Jurassic Park.
Yep, the one you told me about. I looked that up after. It's very funny. Him and Will Smith then get on the little spacecraft and fly it and upload the virus. So that's the virus I was talking about.
Remember Will Smith's Welcome to Earth, and then he punches the alien in the face.
That was really good.
It was really good. That's far better than it should be, because that's a ridiculously stupid moment. But I remember really enjoying that. Welcome to Earth.
He's not going to be in the new one. Have you heard about that?
They're making a new one?
Yeah, they're making a new Independence Day, man. It's going to be good, but it hasn't got
one. Why does that require a sequel?
Because money.
Oh, that's not a good reason. But Independence Day was a complete story. It started at the beginning.
Yep, it did.
It got
where
all
my
way
story
to
start.
The middle of its story. It moved towards the end, and then it finished. There was nothing there that you'd go, yeah, but what if they came back?
No, I agree. They got them all. They got them good. But money. There's loads of films. Is there any films now that haven't got sequels from the 80s and the 90s?
Well, there's reboots.
Oh, like Total Recall. Oh, have you seen that?
I haven't.
That's bad.
I didn't mind that one quite as much. Was it not good?
Oh, no, the Total Recall, the film, the first film of Arnie, classic. Love
Total
it.
Recall's amazing. Oh, yeah, I mean,
yeah,
one,
but the remake.
There's a woman with three breasts. What's not to love?
Exactly. But the remake, oh, no, not for me. Not for me at all.
Colin Farrell, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I like it. I don't mind him. It's just, no, sorry. I think making anything that Arnie was in, that he's now not in, takes away something, because there's no one to shout.
He's an incredibly talented actor.
Because there's no one to shout catchy catch lines. Hey, get to the job and all that stuff. There's no. What did he shout in that film? The woman shouted, "Have a nice day." Did
I
you ask the words? That's
the,
it. He kept saying,
a few months ago,
ask.
I found a video which was called something like 100 great Arnold Schwarzenegger quotes. And I watched the whole freaking thing. I knew I was watching it. This was absurd. But there is something about Arnie which is charismatic and quotable.
He's brilliant.
You know, whether it's like, you know, Kindergarten Cop, you know, shut up, or goofing about in Twins, or, you know, get to the job, you know, the famous ones. But he he delivers lines in a way that just makes them memorable. I had a kid in class last year who he was in year eight, and I was in year nine, and he was obsessed with doing little Arnold Schwarzenegger impressions halfway through lessons. You'd just be sitting there trying to teach, you know, something, you know, fairly, you know, ethical and religious, you know, stem cell research or, you know, the meaning of war. And you just get this kind of like, oh,
get to the job. You have to split. War. The other great thing about Arnie is that every man can do a half decent impersonation of him. So
Maybe that's it. Every, you know, you can't impersonate an Irish person, but God damn it, you can do a Austrian.
Because saying that, you could list his films and probably say a quote for each one. Like then, it took me like, what, 10 seconds to remember, Get Your Ass to Mars. One of the most unknown ones. Ooh. It's just, what, you wouldn't get an
actor. Let's test it then. I'll give you a film when you give a quote.
Oh, okay.
Terminator.
I'll be back.
Jingle All the Way.
Oh no, you got me on the second one. Give me that toy. Oh, is it the bit where he's jumping through the department store and he grabs it? Oh, no, I think it's give me the put down the figure or something. Oh, no.
Put down the radioactive man. I don't know what they're going to.
No, that's the Simpsons. I'm a radioactive man. No, that's the Simpsons.
Batman, I think, and Robin.
Something about free, surely.
Yeah, I'm going to put this on ice or something. Put this on.
Okay, I'll freeze. Something that has to be something like that. Oh, Arnie,
and now,
I love
of course,
him
he's the new host of the Celebrity Apprentice, Donald Trump.
And we're stuck with Alan Sugar. Brilliant. I've already said this on the podcast. It's terrible. It's just it's unfair. I don't. Why can't we have Arnie? I'd watch that program every week.
Are you really that into Arnie? I didn't realize your obsession with him ran that deep.
I love him, man. He's brilliant. He's like a consistent through my life.
In the absence of a parental father figure, I have absorbed the Arnie.
I didn't like him as much, but then I listened to. Do you ever listen to the Nerdist podcast?
I only listen to my own stuff.
Only listen as soon as this finishes, everyone. He goes back and listens to it from the beginning.
I listen to it forwards. I go, everything I said was good. Seriously, yesterday I streamed me editing videos of myself playing Skyrim and laughed at my old jokes. And the thing is, I mean, that sounds like a joke, but actually the people that are here now watching will say, yes, he watched it back, listened to his own stuff and giggled uncontrollably at his own humor. It was the bit when I sang Another Dragon Bites the Dust that probably got me.
Oh, duh. Oh no, that's bad. That's so vain.
It's pretty bad, but the interesting thing is I'm actually okay with it. I'm just, that's what I did.
Own it. Then no one can make fun of you if you own it. You accept it.
I watched them back because they were good.
Yeah. If you were this good, you'd watch yourself back too.
Exactly. I reckon that's what Arnold Schwarzenegger does. I reckon he just goes, I'm going to watch my own movie because it is better than the others. Although he knows the Russian.
Listen to this bit. I say he had to split. It's very funny.
I would like it to lead, not to read. Although that's not actually him.
So that podcast, he was just talking about family life. So he was sent to the presenter that his son acts like a millionaire because he's obviously very rich from his films, and his son doesn't know the poverty that he was when he was very little. So he keeps going on to his son, oh, you're so lucky, you've got running water, I had to go to a well, you don't know what you've got. And he's like, shut up, dad. This type of stuff. And it's just, his stories are brilliant. Like every time he leaves a light bulb on in his house, and he's going, you know, my house is so big, I go around every time my son leaves on a light, I take out the light bulb. But you can imagine how many rooms he's got in his mansion and stuff like that. And if he's in the shower, if his son's in the shower for more than 10 minutes or something, this is when his son was younger, it'd turn off the hot water. So he'd be like, what are you doing? I had no hot water when I was your age. He's a legend. This is brilliant. Imagine Arnold Schwarzenegger walking around the house, ruining everything for you. You go to turn on a light and he's taking out the light bulb. That Arnold.
Did your mum ever use the, when she's just giving you a plate of essentially Brussels to eat, and you, obviously being a child, object and stop because it's disgusting. Did she ever use the, well, there's people starving in Africa?
Yes. I got that one.
To which the response was always, well, they can have my Brussels.
the liver. She was obsessed with feeding me liver because of the iron. And I hate liver.
Damn it, liver.
Oh, so I've made you liver and onions. And it's like, I'm not eating that. I had the potatoes and the peas and left the liver and onions. And but there's people starving. By all means, stick it in an envelope and send it to them. Because it'll taste exactly the same when it gets there.
You know, and avoiding the argument. But I just think that's a stupid argument to use. You can't guilt me into eating my liver or my Brussels because you know, there's something really bad going on the other side of the world. I mean, you might as well just put anything in that place there. Well, you should eat your Brussels. Why? Well, there was a tsunami in Japan 40 years ago. Yeah, you're right. Sorry, I'll have my Brussels. It's an irrelevant fact just to make you feel sad.
It's remember everyone was saying that about the water with the ice bucket challenge?
What?
People saying, people are tipping buckets of water on each other's heads, but there's people in Africa with no water. It's like, what are
you doing? I didn't do the ice bucket challenge because, unlike you, I'm not a fan of people dying of thirst.
because you didn't use that bucket, they had water. Well done. You're the man. How would you get a bucket of water to Africa? I mean, I know it's not a funny situation to have no water and all that stuff, but you're right. It just makes no sense.
I now logistically need to work out how I would get a bucket of water to Africa. Hand luggage? With a bit of cleaning film?
You should go to the post office.
They scan for liquids, don't they? You're only allowed to take like a tiny bit of booby milk.
That's true. You should go to the post office tomorrow and go, can I find out how much something would cost to get to Africa? Yeah, yeah. Just get a bucket of water from the side of you and stick it on the scale.
Ice bucket challenge. I didn't watch many of the videos because they were stupid. But
oh, they were funny though, man. It's a bit of fun.
Everyone suddenly became a TV presenter. Everyone people that you just knew from life would be kind of like, you know, hi, how you doing, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden they'd sit down on this like chair and be kind of like, hi, this is my ice bucket challenge. Now, the reason I'm doing this is, and I nominate this person and that person. It was like, I'm sorry, if you just turned into Terry Wogan. Or, you know, it was just like everyone, it was like, I'm a star, I've got my own show. And then it would always end with them screaming.
But that's what Twitch is. And we've both got Twitch channels. And you've got a successful Twitch channel. So it's good.
I actually just talk like this. This is just how I am.
It's true. But
I have like presenting Addy. And Addy.
True.
I mean, granted, that's when I'm not streaming, I occasionally sleep and stuff, and then I'm not kind of going, you're high. Although someone said to me the other day, I was doing something, I did something at work, and someone said to me, you just did that like Addy. And I was like, he's not like a made-up individual that comes out between 7 o'clock and 9 p.m. every night.
do I act different when I'm on the podcast or on your channel with you?
No.
I swear less.
Do I?
I do. I don't think so. You're more or less the same as when I spoke to you.
Although you said the other day, when we were playing squash, I was losing the actual ability to play battle, so I went for the really piss you off battle instead.
Oh, you went for the head F battle, and you got right under my skin. Under my skin.
You told me that I was essentially streaming the squash game, but without streams.
You were commentating on each point. You son of a... And I take sport. So, I mean, I can have a laugh while I'm having sport, but the actual sport in my head I'm taking very seriously because I don't like to lose. I've got a problem with losing.
You didn't like me commentating on each point.
So you were annoying me because you were catching up a little bit. And I was like, no, I can't let him get in my head. And the more I thought that, the more you did it, and the more you got in my head, and the more I started losing more. But then eventually I won, so it was all right.
You did. That was probably my fault. But I guess that answers the question about whether I'm different outside of things. I guess if there's not actually a stream camera around and I'm still commentating on my life, then that probably says something about me. I'm not sure what it says. It's probably not complimentary.
No.
Oh, he's running for the ball. Oh, he's got it. Whoop, no, he missed that one.
Right, I'm sitting down now, going to eat this meal. Oh, I've got my knife and fork here and I'm cutting up the meat, putting the meat in the marm. I
washed that very well the night before. Whoop, that's probably last night's chicken dinner.
Smelling the armpit. Before we finish today,
I need to thank you for this yellow, winter warmer.
I think it's beautiful. I've got one as well, so I will be wearing it. My son says it's his now, and I said, well, but, you know, I want it. And he said, but you're a man, Dad. You can't wear it out. People will laugh at you. Mm. So I gave him naughty boy points, which is his punishment. I sent him to a room. I didn't really. I just felt a bit sad. But
sorry, you have naughty boy points?
Yeah, when he's bad, he's only a little boy. It's not called like douchebag points. When he does something bad.
My argument would be he's only a little boy, so don't give him naughty boy points.
But what if he does something naughty?
Discuss it.
Ah.
Well, what happens when?
Oh, you're one of these.
No, you've opened the proverbial can of worms, and we're going to need to have to intersect this, and you know, some sort of management speak here. Sorry, what happens when he gets naughty boy points?
If he gets 10 naughty boy points,
right,
he can't play video games at the weekend.
Is this like a sticker chart? You know, is there a little kind of thing where you put the naughty boy points, and it has like a little kind of picture of Satan at the end?
It has like a guillotine and a little. A little picture of his head rolling off from the. He doesn't really. That's made up. But I'm glad I made you laugh that much. He also has good boy points above the bad boy points. It's a reflection of real life. Good stuff is rewarded positively. Bad stuff is rewarded, well, unrewarded. Whatever the opposite of reward. Go on, say something. Yes, son.
I am going to say that I don't have a son, so I'm not going to judge. And I think that raising boys is probably very different to raising girls, probably, just to be very stereotypical, and probably there are ways of dealing with it, and one of those ways of dealing with it is naughty boy points with a guillotine.
And good point. Just a note, because obviously we're on a podcast and a Twitch channel, well, the Twitch channel's, you know, listened to more than by the podcast, which everyone should spread the word, by the way. Come on, people. But there's no guillotine.
No one's going to be if anyone's telling their friends anything at the moment, it's like, geez, Spud, he gives his baby child naughty boy points.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's
so do you say things
logical.
Like, congratulations, this week you've been 0.34 naughty? Like, is it like a percentage or like a ratio? No, you're like you're 3-2 evil this week.
No, it's things like if he's rude or he says something horrible or he pushes over his little brother or something like that, then he's like, why did you do that for? Well, that's a naughty boy point. That's bad. But then if he does something really good, well, he got 16 out of 16 for his spelling test the other day, and he got 3 good boy points. Fine. See, I'm fair.
And I'm gonna start using this in school. I think you've changed my life. I'm gonna, you know.
I'm glad I have.
Next time, you know, someone, you know, attempts to, you know, get away with not doing their homework or says something in class, I'm like, excuse me, that is at least 4 naughty boy points or naughty girl.
4. Jeez, well, that's heavy, man.
Well, I haven't quite. You know, I haven't used the system before. I might need practice.
Yeah, you need to get used to it. 4 is pretty, you know, because that's like 40%. Obviously.
Oh, that's true. So is 4 wow. naughty boy points basically the equivalent of, you know, like assassinating Jack Kagan?
Yeah. Because it gets reset after a week as well. If he's survived the week without getting 10, it's fine. Are you eating?
I have fruit pastels, I'm sure, you know, eating on stream gives me at least 2 naughty boy points. But
it does. It does. That's it. 8 more and you can't play computer games at the weekend.
What?
Yep. Sorry. That's the way it is. And if you go against it, I don't know what I'm going to do because you're a fully grown man. Damn it.
Well, I think I'm going to have to go and speak to Clary about this whole naughty boy point system. I mean, we might need to set up something for Izzy.
Yeah, naughty girl points.
Naughty girl points, yeah.
It's something that she likes doing, though, like watching CBeebies or something.
I think what I'm going to do is get her a naughty girl chart and then just Snapchat you a picture of it every week with nothing on it.
Because she's so good.
Yeah.
Or because like, you don't agree with the system.
Nothing again. Nothing again.
So good.
Still nothing. Right, well, that probably brings us towards the end of Spud Addy. This has been a highly varied discussion. Power play versus role play, nuclear war, naughty boy point, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Get to the chopper.
What else did we talk about? I can't remember.
This is our 10th episode.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary! Only 90 more before we have to do something quite big for everyone who listens.
What?
Like a party in central London at a top club. Something like that, I don't know.
A Spud Addy meet.
Yep, Spud Addy meet.
Well, basically, we sit around in a big circle and have a conversation, but with people kind of sitting next to us kind of going, go on then, talk, go on, do it, have a conversation. It's like Spud Addy!
But they're here! And then I give everyone the boy points.
Good. Right. Well, it's time for us to play the theme tune and go off to the big management meeting in the sky.
You want me to speak now, don't you?
Oh, I don't. You don't have to, but yeah, sure. Why not? I'll sit back
going
and
quiet
while you plug everything you want to.
Well, if you, again, if you just let me know that you want me to speak, I could have been interrupting. But yes, thank you everyone for listening. If you would like to follow us on Twitter, we're at SpudaddyCast, and you can send us your questions. I mean, I've got a couple of questions to go back on, but I'm saving them until we've got more. So we haven't forgotten about you. We will ask your questions. Thank you very much for listening, and we love you all. And please spread the word of Spudaddy.
Of course, I'll be back and around. I've got my Doctor Who reviews on Sundays. I've got Doctor Who Legacy on Thursdays, and there's all sorts of Skyrim stuff going on around at the moment. Are you doing anything else at the moment, or are you just playing stuff?
I'm pretending I'm the Witcher, and I'm just about to go off to an isle to defeat an evil spirit, but nothing for the public, I'm afraid, at the moment.
Roleplay or power play?
Roleplay.
Roleplay. All right, boys and girls, thank you so much for coming along. You have been fantabulastic, and I hope you enjoy your ruminations of the future. Here is a little song. Goodbye.
Spudaddy, Spudaddy, you're Spud and I'm Addy. Just listen, you'll glisten, cause you'll be so happy. Our podcast is random talk on this and on that. Did you expect from potatoes and fat? Yeah, what did you expect from potatoes and fat?